You're listening to KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep, here with local and statewide news. A judge serving in Nome could be reprimanded after the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct found he acted in ways that could damage public trust in the court system. A report issued last Thursday detailed allegations against Judge Romano DiBenedetto, who was placed on administrative leave in March. The commission found that DiBenedetto showed up nearly an hour late to a court hearing in January 2024. Four witnesses allege DiBenedetto was delayed because of a sports game on TV. The report acknowledged the hearing occurred after normal work hours. The commission said this gave the impression that, quote, court matter did not take precedence over a personal activity, end quote, which it said was a violation of the state's code of judicial conduct. The commission also investigated comments DiBenedetto made around courthouse staff. On more than one occasion, DiBenedetto reportedly, quote, reenacted testimony or comments of participants in judicial proceedings, end quote. The report also said he created, quote, an appearance of bias by imitating voices of ethnic minorities. According to the report, DiBenedetto did not dispute the findings and accepted the commission's recommendation for a public reprimand. He also apologized to the commission for his actions. The commission's findings will be submitted to the Alaska Supreme Court, which will make a determination on DiBenedetto's future in the judicial system. A new trial date has been set for the Juneau chiropractor that was arrested 4 years ago on multiple sexual assault charges. Jeffrey Foltz is accused of assaulting more than a dozen women under the guise of medical care. His trial is scheduled to start Monday. This is Foltz's third trial date. It comes after nearly 50 hearings. But at a pretrial hearing today, the state prosecutor, judge, and Foltz's defense attorney all said they plan to avoid further delays. Police arrested Foltz in 2021 based on initial accusations that he had assaulted patients while he was a chiropractor for Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. Foltz now faces 15 felony sexual assault charges and one misdemeanor harassment charge. Foltz has been living in Colorado since he posted bail 4 years ago. He has made one in-person appearance in Juneau court since. One of Foltz's accusers, a woman the courts are identifying as CEL, said that she is relieved and grateful this case may finally go to trial.
So many of us have lived in this limbo, and we've been unable to fully heal because the system that promises accountability has kept stalling.
Several factors contributed to the delay. The investigating Juneau police officer died. The first judge assigned to the case retired. Foltz's first attorney was deemed, quote, mentally unable to continue with the case. Initial trial dates were set for February and then again in April. The first was delayed while the court processed records. The second was delayed for a health emergency on Foltz's defense team. Foltz was arrested in 2021. Some of the charges date back to 2014. CEL said long delays can take a toll on alleged victims of assault.
This idea that justice delayed is justice denied is absolutely true. And that every delay reinforces the idea that harm against victims isn't urgent or isn't serious.
The Alaska Supreme Court began to limit trial delays in May after reporting from the Anchorage Daily News and ProPublica revealed that Alaska felony cases are often delayed for years. The trial is scheduled for a 5-week time period starting next Monday and lasting into August. Judge Larry Wolford will be presiding. The public may attend proceedings in person in Courtroom A at Juneau's Diamond Courthouse or by phone. People who suspect they may be victims of sexual abuse in Juneau can call AWARE at 907-586-1090. Alaska lawmakers plan to compel the administration of Governor Mike Dunleavy to release data on oil taxes through a rare use of the state legislature's subpoena power. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, it's the latest issue in a long-running dispute between the legislature and Dunleavy administration over whether the state is getting all the tax revenue it should from its most lucrative natural resource.
Nobody's happy about sending the subpoenas, but Senator L.V. Gray Jackson, an Anchorage Democrat who chairs a committee overseeing audits of state government, says they're the logical next step in completing an oil tax audit that's been ongoing since 2020.
We want to work with the Department of Revenue, period. But the auditor has been trying to get this information for a very, very long time.
Her committee unanimously authorized a $50,000 contract with outside attorneys to draft and send subpoenas to the administration to move the audit forward. They're looking for data that shows essentially whether the Dunleavy administration has been properly enforcing the state's oil tax laws. But so far, the legislative auditor, that's the official the state constitution puts in charge of examining the state's books, says she hasn't been able to get that data. At least, Gray Jackson says, not in a format that she can analyze.
basically, she's trying to get the information she needs to complete her audit, but in the format that's understandable and the format that has been done in the past.
The most recent audit of that oil tax data was in 2018, and it showed that the Department of Revenue had raised more than $1 billion over 6 years by identifying underpayments from oil companies. But lawmakers say the auditor has run into roadblocks in the most recent audit, partially because the Department of Law contends that some of the records the auditor has used in the past are now protected by attorney-client privilege.
I think we're dealing here with hundreds of millions and into the billions of dollars.
That's Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman speaking at a committee hearing earlier this year. The committee was considering a bill that would make it a crime for state officials not to provide data in the form or format requested by the legislative auditor. The bill ultimately passed by a wide margin, but Dunleavy vetoed it, saying it raised constitutional issues. Whether the legislature could override the veto is unclear, not least because Dunleavy called a special session for next month and told some lawmakers to stay away from the Capitol for the first few days, which would prevent the rest from overriding his vetoes. Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Wilkowski says he thinks the governor's request to skip the beginning of the special session isn't just about upholding Dunleavy's veto of $50 million in education funding.
This is all about protecting billions of dollars in taxes, likely tax evasion, to the oil industry. And it's about benefiting the rich and the privileged at the expense of the rest of Alaskans.
Dunleavy and legislators have traded barbs over the bill and the dispute behind it. As the bill came to the governor's desk in late May, the House Speaker and Senate President sent a letter to Dunleavy saying it was a, quote, unfortunate but necessary response to what they called a, quote, persistent pattern of obstruction by senior administration officials. After vetoing the bill, Dunleavy fired back with a letter of his own, saying claims that the administration was acting illegally or unethically were, quote, unfounded and unsupported by any evidence. Dunleavy said he was open to working with the legislative auditor to get the data lawmakers are looking for. Asked when the data would be turned over, though, Dunleavy's office referred back to the letter and an earlier statement from the Department of Revenue Commissioner saying the department had provided much, though not all, of what the auditor had requested. Representative Will Stapp, a Fairbanks Republican, says even if lawmakers get more insight into how the administration has handled oil taxes, there's no certainty on whether that would result in a windfall for the state.
It's important that we audit the functions of our executive branch, and especially our oil tax structure. I would just be very skeptical if they owe us $1 billion.
Staff says he's planning to be in Juneau for the start of the special session next month, but he says he's not convinced the bill would make a difference in resolving the issue. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
An island in the Western Aleutians could become home to Alaska's first green ammonia facility. But as KUCB's Sophia Stewart Rossi reports, there are still years to go before the $1.7 billion project is in operation.
ADAC Regional Native Corporation signed an agreement in May to lease thousands of acres of land to Pacific Age 2, an energy company currently based in Oregon. The 90-year lease allows Pacific Age 2 to build wind turbines that power a permanently docked green ammonia plant in ADAC Harbor. Scoey Vergen is the CEO of the Aleut Corporation, the Alaska Native Corporation leasing the land. He says the green ammonia facility could be the anchor point for revitalizing ADAC, an island that used to have a pretty large military base.
This is a transformational opportunity for Aleut and for ADAC. It isn't just a clean energy project. It's an economic engine for ADAC and the entire Aleut region.
The project would be the first for Pacific Age 2 and could cost nearly $2 billion to complete. This summer, they'll start a year-long wind study for the 70 wind turbines they're planning to use. Pacific Age 2 says the green ammonia facility could bring 150 jobs to ADAC, where about 50 people live now. The island has a lot of infrastructure from the old naval air base that closed in the late 90s, so residents have been looking into ways their city can get back on the map. ADAC City Manager Breck Craig says the community is mostly excited about the possibilities the green ammonia facility could bring to the island, like high-paying jobs and access to renewable energy.
It's a real game changer, as long as they can address the environmental concerns.
So what exactly is green ammonia? It's not the color that makes it green. It's how the ammonia is produced. Making ammonia takes a lot of energy, and traditional ammonia production relies largely on fossil fuels. But green ammonia runs entirely on renewable energy. Pacific Age 2 would use ADAC's wind and water resources to power the green ammonia facility and produce the chemical compound. The company expects the plant will make more than 2,000 tons of ammonia each year. And ammonia can be toxic in high concentrations, which is particularly important because part of ADAC is federally protected within the Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge. According to Pacific H2's CEO, Charles Deister, the facility will be following a lot of the same safety systems that have worked in industrial ammonia plants for decades, like double-walled pipes and multiple containment systems.
We have gas detection systems, emergency ventilation systems, there'll be various alarms, automatic shutdown valves.
There will also be a buffer zone that will prohibit any vessel traffic. So why invest in green ammonia? Well, according to Deister, green ammonia is in high demand in Asia, which makes ADAC's location ideal for shipping.
ADAC is as far west as we can get. It reduces the shipping time to the lowest possible. For example, ADAC to Tokyo is a 7-day shipping time at 14 knots.
The project still needs permits and environmental reviews, which will take years. After those approvals, Pacific H2 would need to secure the funding. But if everything goes according to plan, the facility is projected to start producing green ammonia by 2032. In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi.
And in Juneau, it's 51 degrees with rain and fog, and there will continue to be a chance of rain and showers through the rest of this week. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.